They fought the powers that be that was tyranny and fought against those things that were wrong in other countries, even under authority, under command, that gave their lives. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you we are in the middle of war. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, sometimes you come to church and I want to just encourage you. You want encouragement. But I, first of all, must tell you the truthus. That is T-R-U-F-U-S. The truthus. And what that means is I've got to tell you that, ladies and gentlemen, there are things out there that you cannot see that is affecting the things that you can see. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, the Bible tells us that there are things that we wrestle against, things that we struggle against that we have to bring into subjection. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to fight. And turn to your neighbor and say, fight the power. Now you got to put that fist up. Fight the power. This is whether you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Korean, Southern Pacific. We all got to fight the powers that be. And I'm going to show you what they are. But when you know it, you got to do something about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we were just coming out of a series called Walking with Him. That means that we have learned about our Jesus, learned about His authority, learned about His strength, learned about who He was, learned about His doctrine and what He's given to the church. Now, the Bible is not for education. The Bible is for application. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God wants us to take what we learn and then begin to apply it. If we just only listen, then we missed it. The Bible says, don't only be hearers of the words, but doers also. We've got to listen to the truth and then put the truth into action. And so, you know, there's always going to come a time in life where whether you believe it or not, you're going to have to put what you know into action. Has anybody ever grew up and been bullied before? Anybody ever been bullied? Put your hand up in the air that you've been bullied before. Amen. Amen. How many of you were bullies? Amen. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Okay. That was too many bullies in the house. There was a time when I was in grade school, I got bullied. I got bullied by a guy by the name of Sean Coleman. Everybody say Sean Coleman. Sean Coleman, you know, when you think of a bully, you think of this big dude, you know, that's not too smart, lumbers around, you know, pushing and shoving people. And that wasn't Sean Coleman. He was one of the smartest kids in the school. So that even made it worse. You know, he was smarter than me. And that dude could fight. And so every recess, we would go out to recess. I had me a little lunch bag, and I would try to find a way as far from Sean Coleman as I could get. Because I knew if we locked eyes, he was coming for me. Now, listen, let me say this to some of you. Some of you are so scared of spiritual warfare because you're afraid if you lock eyes with the enemy, you got trouble coming. But how many know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Listen, I say it all the time. You either live by fear or you live by faith, but you can't live by them both. You've got to make up your mind that I don't care who stands before me. If it's a created creature, that means my creator created it and it's weaker than me because he is in me. But see, being in grade school, I didn't know all that. So, you know, when Sean Coleman came out, I got my little lunchbox, you know, my little Captain America lunchbox, and went down to the far side of the field and ate my little apple and my little, you know, those little, you remember you used to get those peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and they all smash and get soft in the middle. You just waiting to get to that middle part. And I'm just ready to eat my sandwich. And I remember seeing way up the field, Sean Coleman come out with his band of guys standing around him. Everywhere he went, he had a group of guys that, hey, Sean Coleman, how you doing, Sean Coleman? Good to see you. And they're like little puppy dogs all around him, right? And they're like, get away from me. And he had, I'll never forget one day, he was tossing a football to one of his friends. And he was tossing a football. And I'm like, I'm staying away from this cat. And I'm down there eating my lunch. And he throws the ball. And that ball comes all the way down to to where I'm sitting and bounces right next to me and hits me in the shoulder and stops. Now, at that moment, I'm like, oh, my Lord, I got Sean Coleman's ball. What am I going to do? And I looked up, and he said, Yates, throw me the ball. You know me, I don't want no trouble. You know, so I pick up the ball. Sure, Sean Coleman, not a problem, Sean Coleman. Yeah, I'll throw you the ball you want. You want me to bring it to you? I said, throw me the ball. Okay, Sean Coleman, I'll throw you the ball. I'll throw you the ball. And he's like, man, that boy. And I went, phew. And you know, there's that one time in your life when you throw that ball and it's the perfect spiral. You'll never have it again, never do it again. And that thing was like Super Bowl kind of style throw. Whoo! And I felt it leave. I'm like, perfect throw. And that thing's spiraling. But the only problem is Sean Coleman is standing there talking and he turned around. And that ball was headed straight for his head. And I'm like, turn around, Sean Coleman. Turn around, Sean Coleman. Turn around, Sean Coleman. Turn around. And then I'm like, uh-oh, don't turn around, Sean Coleman. Don't turn around. And he went, whop, right in the nose. Give me a second. It still bothers me. See, there comes a time in your life that, y'all know Sean Coleman? There comes a time in your life you can run and you could try to hide. But one day, circumstances aren't going to let you run from that thing anymore. You're going to have to face the thing you've been ignoring, you've not dealt with, and that's been bullying you in your life. When that ball hit that man in the nose, I'm going to tell you what I said. I knew he started. Next thing I hear him go, aah! All of his friends got scared. I saw him running. Anybody used to remember the $6 million man? Anybody? Do, 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 do. That's how he ran. Do, 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 do. And I saw Sean Coleman coming straight at me like the $6 million man. And then there's this thing that happens. This peace just goes, oh, well, I can't run no more. I'm busted. We're going to have to fight. I can't hide from this one. He saw me throw it. Well, we might as well fight. And he came down. And let me just say, little Steve Yates put a whooping on that boy. Woo-wee! By the end of that fight, he gave me the football. Take it, man. Take it. Take it. Now, I'm not advocating fighting. Of course not. I'm not saying that, of course. You know, but what I am saying is this. Sometimes the enemy will bother you and make you more afraid than you should be. Because of his bluster and his words and his roaring, and you think you can't fight him because of all the noise he makes. But if you ever got in a battle with him, you would win. Hello, somebody. There are things that are going on in your life you have the right to put a stop to, but because you don't believe in yourself nor the God that lives in you, you let craziness happen in your home. You let your wife go crazy. You let your husband go crazy. You let your kids go crazy because you think you ain't got no power. But if you would just open up your mouth and decide that the living God lives in me, and that I have power and authority on the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, you're suffering from a bully, a spiritual bully, and it's time to fight. Somebody say, fight the power. Come on, say it like you mean it. Fight the power. Oh no, some of y'all think it don't apply to you. Everybody on this side in this row say, fight the power. What happened to the fist? Fight the power. All right, everybody in the middle, say, fight the power.
Fight the power.
Everybody on that side, let me say, fight the power.
Fight the power.
That's right. You've got to get mad sometimes. You got to get tired of running from the enemy. You got to get tired of being tired of being tired. You've got to say, I don't care what you do. Not this time, devil. Not this time. I got a son. Now, where my son, Justice? Where's he at? He's over there helping with the kids. Where's my son, Justice? He ain't here. Okay. What? What? He's helping with the kids. All right. Here, Justice, my wife was born. My wife was born. When my wife got pregnant, they said to us, that baby that's living in her womb has Down syndrome. Down syndrome. And we've tested everything, and sir, we need you to get ready. Now, here's your only options. For her safety, we recommend that you abort the child. Or let the child continue to live, but the cost and the trouble that it's going to cost you is going to affect you for the rest of your life. Good doctor, well intentioned. But what he doesn't understand, I got a prophecy years ago that I was going to have two boys. One of them was going to play music and sing. And so when she had this baby, I said, Doc, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to let that baby in her womb have Down syndrome for 9 months. I said, you'll check it. She'll have Down syndrome for 9 months. She'll have Down syndrome. But on the day her water breaks, come on. That baby coming out whole. Yes. Greater is he that is than he that is. Who hath believed the report of the Lord? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? If you believe his report, then his arm shows up. Come on, somebody. You got to know how this thing works. Doctor laughed at me on the day of the birth. They got all the nurses in that deal with that particular issue. They're all standing around, and it was time to give birth. And when she gave birth to that child, everybody ran in with all the special equipment. The doctor said, ho, wait, pull that baby out. Ain't nothing wrong with this child. Ain't nothing wrong with this child. And that's my boy up here that was singing today. Come on, somebody. Play six instruments. Straight A student. I can't even take credit for it. It was God's power. Amen. We got to fight the power, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you what we're up against. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 in the King James Version. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I can't stay with long because we prayed a little bit early, but I just want to lay a foundation of what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. You need to understand what we're really up against. Take a look at that screen behind you, please, and let me take a look at that screen, Jeanette, please. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we think we're dealing with people and people issues. You run up against an angry cop or an angry cook, and I tell you, there's only two people you should never make angry. Your cook and your barber. Don't ever do that. That's why my hair is like this right now. Anyway, you got to understand that sometimes what we're going through is not natural, but supernatural. It may not be the devil himself, but it may be one of his imps or followers. Because they're everywhere, everywhere. A third of them fell out of heaven. A third of an innumerable amount of angels hit the earth, and they're here. And all they attempt to do is cause trouble. They're not omnipresent. They can't be everywhere at once. But there may be one here, one over there. You may walk into a neighborhood and find that one issue prevails over that neighborhood. You may go over another issue, a neighborhood, and you see greed prevails over that neighborhood. Or another neighborhood, and you see abuse prevail over that neighborhood. And I'm here to tell you why this occurs. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principles. principalities. Now let me stop right there. A principality is a prince over a certain area. That means they have jurisdiction over an area. These aren't talking about angels. These are talking about fallen angels. Over a principality. They claim they own it. I saw this in the Bible once where Jesus sent his disciples into a city. Two by two. The only way we're ever going to bring down principalities is if we mobilize the church. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We have to mobilize you. Don't go nowhere, George. I'm just playing. I couldn't help it. I'm so sorry. It was right on time. I'm sorry. We have to mobilize the army of God, not just to come to church.
Amen.
I need this side to look at me. Look at me. Do one of Rocky's things. Over here. Look at me. I need you to make a decision to decide that it's more than just church. You have neighbors and friends that need to hear from you. You've got issues in your community that you are well aware of. And you have the power to bring it down. If you would mobilize yourselves or allow yourself to be mobilized. I'm talking to this congregation in the middle. You know that what God has done in your life. How many know what God has done in your life? And if you know that God has done this in your life and you're watching outside your door and you're saying things like, man, things are getting worse and worse and worse, that's because we're becoming less visible. We've got to get outside our four walls and put this power to work. Let me say over here, how many have seen crime in your neighborhood? Raise your hand. Some abuse of any kind in your neighborhood. Raise your hand. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you this. God didn't make an army that couldn't win. The Bible says we are the unbeatable army, for death cannot hold us down. In fact, if you kill us in 3 days like Christ, we might just get up again. You hear me? So what would you do if you knew you were unstoppable? What would you do if you knew death couldn't keep you down? What dreams would you go after if you knew death wasn't a determining factor? I'm here to push you beyond your envelope. Some of you have the ability to give so much more, but you hoard it because you think of time. But an army of the Lord is timeless. Money don't mean anything. Money is the only thing that's going to perish. What matters is the righteousness that you live by on this earth. And look at this. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principality. And against what? Powers. Meaning that when the principality sets up what he does, he puts powers in place. You know, commissioners, people that run the government, people that run at different areas of the world. And you wonder why it's so messed up. And we're looking at them when we should be looking at the power over our city. Amen. Against the rulers of the darkness, what? Of this world. Under every group of government, there are people who maintain that order. They are the rulers of darkness. And it is up to the church to stand up against unrighteousness, stand up against what's wrong, stand up against lying, stand up against cover-ups, stand up against racism, stand up against bigotry, stand up against alcoholism, stand up against methamphetamine, stand up against marijuana, stand up against abortion, stand up against homosexuality, stand up against lying, stand up against thieving, stand up against domestic violence. It's the church's job. We must fight the powers that be. I am not a simple preacher. I will never be a simple preacher. I am a deep down blood bought fighter from the core. I will fight until my last breath. So if you want an easy church, this ain't it. I expect everybody in here to fight. Watch this. And spiritual wickedness in high places.
Come on now. Right there.
I want to show you what Jesus does. He mobilized the saints. He said, I'm going to send you two by two into every city I'm going to go. Because there were principalities over those cities. And a group of them went into Jerusalem. And there was a principality over Jerusalem. And they came back rejoicing. Told Jesus, man, when we went in there, we healed the sick, and even demons had to obey us. Do you know what Jesus' response was for them going into the city and preaching and casting out demons and healing the sick? Here's what his response was. He says, I looked and beheld Satan fall like lightning from his principality. When you go in and you preach the gospel over any city, whatever principality is over that city, it's got to come down. Amen. Let me close with this story, because over the next couple days, next couple weekends, I'm going to show you how to fight the power in your mind, in your bodies, in your homes. I'm going to show you how to do this. So that you're not weak, but you're powerful. It's not just coming to church and asking for prayer. You'll be able to go right back home and take care of it that day.
Yes, yes.
Who wants to be able to do something like that?
Yes.
That's walking with authority. Let me close with this story, a true story that happened to me. Some of you know about it, others don't. I was invited to go to El Salvador. And I was invited to go and hold a revival in El Salvador. I didn't speak Spanish, but I was going to go with an interpreter who was the pastor of the church there. So they got me a plane ticket, and I was flying a flight, and we had to hit El Salvador airspace. I'm sitting on the plane. It's usually nighttime. It's very quiet. I'm watching everybody, reading my Bible. And I look up. Something told me, look up. And I looked up, and I see this short lady, probably about 4 feet high, and she's wearing this garment, like, you know, a festive Spanish garment. But she was definitely Spanish. But the odd thing about her was she had blonde hair. I've never seen that before. So she's walking down the aisle, and I'm sitting over there, and she's walking down the aisle, and she's staring at me. And I'm looking at her like, is she looking at me? I'm looking around. You know, she doesn't look like one of the waitresses, and she's walking over to me, staring at me. And you know, sometimes you wonder, what is wrong with this lady? And then she looks at me, and she goes, when she gets about 10, 15 feet from me, she goes, ah! Now, I don't know about you. My heart was going, brrr. I'm like, she going to get shot by a marshal. I guarantee it. And I'm looking at this lady, and while she's screaming, there is no movement from anyone else. No one even heard her speak. And then I felt the Spirit of God rest on me, a peace that settled on me, a boldness. And she's screaming, and I started to smile. I said, I don't even know where it came from. It came right out of my spirit, man. My mind didn't even know what I was saying. I said, I will not leave until I have done all that it called me to do. And she disappeared. Well, I don't know about you, but when things like that happen, you kind of question your sanity. You know what I mean? Woo, that was high altitude. Woo, that got me there. I'm just being real. Well, we landed the first night, and I had the first revival that night. And it was an incredible, power-filled revival, signs and wonders. And but afterwards, they took me out to eat, and I couldn't hold it anymore. The local missionary and the pastor was there, and they said to me, I said to them, I have something to tell you, but it's going to sound crazy. They're like, okay, well, tell us. I said, and I explained the whole thing to them. And they stopped me, and they said, hold on a second. They said, would you like us to describe what she looks like to you? I said, sure. I just knew they couldn't do it. And they said, was she short, like 4 feet tall? I was like, yeah. Was she wearing festive clothes, like, you know, of the area? I said, yeah. And they looked at each other and said, did she have blonde hair? I said, yes. And they said, in Spanish, my name is Esteban. Esteban? They said, when we first started our church in El Salvador, the night before we opened, we were cleaning, and we turned around and there was a woman on our altar, and she was sitting there looking just like the woman you described, and she started screaming at us, and we started praying because we didn't know what to do, and when she disappeared, we were terrified. We've never had anything like that happen. Well, the next day, they came into service, and they looked up, and there was feces all over the ceiling, but none on the floor. Then the missionary spoke up and said, the same thing happened to me when I came into town. First night I lay down, I had a dream that I went down into the basement of a house, and I saw this woman crouched in the corner, screaming at me, telling me to get out. This is her land. And she said, I woke up, and I shared with the pastor, and he shared his story, and now your story. And here's what he said to me. Stephen, the reason why we invited you here is because many years ago, the Lord told me that when I go to the U.S., the first man that introduces himself to me at the door is the one that's going to bring down that spirit that's been tormenting our country. He said, in the United States, your forefathers brought that spirit down when they came across on the boats. They knew God, and they brought those spirits down. But we're a third world country, and no one's done it yet. And our prayer was that you would come and bring that spirit down. That was our prayer. And so when I came to the U.S., you walked out the door and shook my hand first. And I knew in 3 years you'd be the one to show up. So what did he do? He took me to the place called Devil Mountain. And on that mountain sits between two valleys. This way is where all the witches and warlocks live, in the valley. And over here are normal people. And for the first time ever, I stood on that mountaintop and I blessed both sides and commanded the spirit that troubled the land, it must come down. Ladies and gentlemen, I had no idea that God had that much faith in me. So I say to you, God has that much faith in you. I need you over the next several sermon series to open your heart to understand really who you are and what you can do so that we all can fight the powers and that when we fight them, things in the natural will change for all of us. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Clap your hands and let's stand before the Lord.